Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. It's very good to be here with you today. It feels like a long time since I talked to Scotty last Thursday. It's Wednesday. I know these things are up all the time and it probably won't be Wednesday when you listen to it. But anyway, it's howling a gale outside today. It's very, very windy. And I, you know, would have thought maybe I'll do it on another day when it's not so windy and not so noisy outside. Except that I have no idea when the next chance is I'll have to record this podcast. So I hope it's not too noisy for you or too windy. I hope the sound is okay. I know I've had some sound issues lately and I'm trying to figure out how to make the sound beautiful for your ears. But yes, I hope it's not too noisy for you today, that you enjoy the talk I have with Scotty, and then that you enjoy the little bit afterwards where I unpack it a bit and chat a bit more about how I feel about all this stuff. It's been the Olympics recently, and so I wanted to talk sport. I only really watch sport for 2 weeks every 2 years, the Summer Olympics and the Winter Olympics. It's a bit sad, really. I'm just not a sports fan. Maybe as I get fitter, I'll get more sporty. But I have enjoyed watching the Olympics this year very, very much. I think they're amazing people. And so, yes, there's a little bit of an Olympic bent, as you'll hear. But I will chat to you again after the little talk with Scotty.
Hobart's Ultra 265. Good morning, Scotty, with you. And Ruth Amos with you, with us as well this morning. Morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Scotty. How you doing?
I'm good. We were talking before about me being sleep deprived and watching the Olympics to some ridiculous hour. And then looking at my watch and going, oh, I've got like 4 hours sleep or 5 hours sleep. Go to bed.
Yeah.
Silly.
Absolutely.
Really,
but it's
silly.
So tempting, isn't it? It's so nice to watch them. I have this quote. I have a quote from Novak Djokovic where he said, I can carry on playing at this level because I like hitting the tennis ball. And apparently the interviewer said, are there really players who don't like hitting the ball? And he said, oh, yeah, there are people out there who don't.
I think Nick Kyrgios doesn't like hitting the tennis ball. I think for him it's all about the money
and
the glamour.
And I know there are authors out there, like, because this is what I do, is write things. There are authors out there who don't like writing. They have to force themselves to sit down to write, whereas I'm in my happy place when I sit at my computer tapping out words, and it's you know, it's fun. Yeah. So I'm thinking that if you can find something that you actually enjoy the process of doing, that's the thing you should go ahead and do.
Yeah. I've got friends, like you and I were talking off air, and they're like, oh, I don't want to do that as a job because that's my hobby and I wouldn't want to, you know, that's my passion. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and so they get into these jobs that they don't enjoy doing. And, you know, just to make some money.
And it's so many hours out of your life to be doing something that you really hate. I just think it's not worth it. Money's a problem. And I think we get in the Western world, get ourselves so tied up with we have to afford things that you know, honestly, Scott, maybe we don't have to afford quite, you know, the things. I know I'm... It's a hard thing when you're talking about privilege and everything. I don't want to say to people, look, you're doing the wrong thing. But maybe, you know, if you're really hating what you're doing and you feel trapped, maybe there is a way out that you just need to think, okay, we'll make a few sacrifices for a few years. And I'm talking as someone who put two children through primary school and went to uni at the same time as my husband went to uni. And we bought a house during that time. And I know it was when houses were cheaper and whatever, but you know, you can do it. You can, you know, maybe it's bread and butter and no jam for a while, but to move then into an arena where you actually enjoy what you're doing for the majority of the day.
Well, I've got friends that have big mortgages, really struggling, and they're both stuck in these jobs that they really don't like, but they have to keep doing it because they've got to feed the beast. They've got to keep paying for their mortgage and all their, you know, things. And it's a really tough position for people to be in. So if you're going to spend all those hours of a daytime, you want to be doing something you enjoy.
You enjoy, yeah. And like my first job was as a checkout chick, and I was just exhausted by that job. I mean, I did my best, and I think I was very slow as well, but I tried. But it wasn't the right job for me. But I have a friend who worked as a checkout chick for 30 years, and she loved it. Yeah. You know, it gave her life and it gave her joy. So I think, you know, finding that thing that you love to do.
I've met checkout chicks that are just, you can tell they love their job, and you know, like he or she will. Chick's probably the wrong word, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry. Check out chap as well. Yeah.
But like you'll get there and they'll have a good old conversation with you and you just say, yeah, you feel like saying, you're so good at this. You obviously enjoy what you do.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what the job is, you know, but you just got to have a passion for it.
Yeah. And, you know, I love sitting at a desk and I actually enjoy fiddling with spreadsheets and things like this. And Moz really, really doesn't. My husband, he likes being with people and talking with people. We figured out way too late that when he was running his own business, I should have been doing the books and he should have been taking the kids out to the park. But we didn't work it out. So, yeah. So I think, you know, that also you can look at something and say, oh, I want to be a that. You know, in I want to be famous or I want to be rich or whatever. But there's an awful long journey to go between where you are and where you want to be. And finding that thing where the process of doing the thing, the hitting the tennis ball, yeah, is the thing you actually enjoy, it's just going to make a massive difference, yeah, to your life.
Love that. So is that your word of wisdom today?
That's my word of wisdom for the day.
I love it. Hey, thank you. Now, what's your website again?
RuthAmos.com.au.
I did know that. I actually did know that. I'm just fantastic. Scared to say it out loud in case I get it wrong. RuthAmos.com.au. Hey, thanks, Ruth.
Thanks, Scotty. So you may have been listening to that and got the impression that I was backpedaling a bit. I feel like we got onto a bit of dangerous ground because I don't know your situation. I don't know the bills that you have in your life and I don't know whether you can get out of it or not. But I have talked to so many people. So when we think back to when I was a stay-at-home mum and Moz was an electrician and we weren't particularly happy. In fact, I was particularly unhappy. And we thought long and hard and we prayed a lot and we saw God answer some of our questions and we ended up deciding to go to university. So Moz quit his job and I already didn't have a job and we went to uni together. And afterwards people said to me, oh, I wish I could do that. And I thought, well, you know, you can. You can. You just need to make some sacrifices that maybe they hadn't even thought about making. And I guess that's where I'm coming from here. If you are in a position where you are miserable, where the thing you do day in and day out is a thing that you don't enjoy, and it makes you sad, and it drains you of energy, and you have no life left in your life, you can't enjoy your hobbies because you're exhausted from your day job. You know, if you're in that situation, then maybe the sacrifices that you need to make to retrain or start a new job or try something different could be worth it. They could be worth it. And I don't think it matters what the job is. So as I said, I had quite a long life journey to find out what my thing is and what the thing is that I enjoy doing and what I think is worth making sacrifices to do. So I started working as a checkout operator at a supermarket. And as you heard, that was awful. But My friend Judy, who was on my podcast on episode 11, back when I was doing interviews every week, she worked in Coles for a long time and she really did enjoy it and it gave her life and it gave her life meaning and how she could reach out to others through that job gave her life meaning. So that was fantastic. I moved from working in a supermarket to working in a bank, which is basically the same job. It was for me anyway, seeing people all the time. I like playing with money. That was really good. That's the only thing I really miss from working at a bank is playing with money. Anyway, I left the bank to have children, which I'm very, very glad I did. And I love my kids. But I had this picture of myself that I was this stay-at-home mum that would be the earth mother type, that would love looking after the children, have people in and out of her house every day and, you know, bake amazing baked goods and give the kids incredible school lunches and I just didn't know myself very well because that is just not me. Like, it's just not me. And I worked as a family day carer when I was at home with the kids because it was a job I could do and stay at home with my children, which was really important to me. But I struggled so much doing that. It was hard work and being a family day carer was the wrong job for me. However, it is the perfect job for my friend Kerry, and she was on my podcast too. She was episode 9 and talked about her work as a family day carer and how it's so meaningful to her. So it's not the problem with the job, you see. It's the problem is with me. So I suffered from postnatal depression because I was in the wrong place. And in the end, after I'd given the kids to my in-laws for the day and then just sort of sat on the lounge room floor and cried all morning, Moz said to me, you need to go and learn something. You need to go to TAFE or to uni or something. So he knew me better than I knew myself. And I signed up for uni and I loved being at uni. It was fantastic. And from the day I walked into that first, into the chemistry building for the first time and attended my first chemistry class, I thought, this is my happy place. This is where I want to be for the rest of my life. However, after about 15 years, it wasn't my happy place anymore. There are aspects of the job of being a university lecturer and researcher that I just cannot face or could not face anymore. So I'm not saying it was a bad job. I loved the job for a while and then I couldn't hack it anymore. But somebody who does love the job and will continue for the rest of his life is Matt King, and he's a professor at the University of Tasmania. And guess what? He's on episode 41 of my podcast, so you can have a listen to him if you want to listen to someone for whom this is the perfect job. But it wasn't for me, and I needed to change my mind or try something new, and now I do what I do. So I work from home, I'm an editor, and I'm an author, and I'm a podcaster. And this job I really love. Now, I'm not going to close the door on this either. I may love it for 15 years and then choose to do something else. I tend to have what I call the Enid Blyton mindset. You know, if we get to the place where we want to be, then we will all live happily ever after. And I know that's not how work works. Not how life works. But at the present moment, I am very happy doing something that I love to do and that I love the process of. So I think one of the problems with the university job for me was that I loved the idea of being a professor. The idea that I'd grown up with, probably because of reading a whole lot about C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, of what being a professor involved. But in fact, the actual process wasn't the same as my glorified idea of what was involved. And so when it came down to it, the process of doing chemistry research wasn't the thing that I loved. The thing that I loved was working with the students to get their papers to the place where their English was beautiful and their science was clear. And so that's what I do for a job now. So it's interesting. Finding the process, finding the thing that you love doing, finding that tennis ball that you love to hit, I think makes a big difference to your life. And yes, as Scotty was saying, some people are really passionate about things and decide not to do it because they don't want to wreck it by working in that situation. Like we talked last time about having a hobby, something that was just fun to do and that you do just for no point, just because you enjoy doing it. And that's important too. And I don't think that we all have to monetize our passions. But at the same time, if there's something that you really enjoy the process of doing and you can make money from it, you can make a living from it or serve other people with it, then why not? Go ahead and give it a go. Moz talks to his students about what problem in the world they would like to solve when they're thinking about what job they'll do in their lives. He says, well, think about what problem. What's the problem out there that you think that you would like to spend your life solving? And that's a really great way also to think about what you want to do with your life. And Friedrich Buchner says, your vocation is a place where your deep gladness meets the world's deep need. If you can find that place where something that you're passionate about, something that brings you great joy, overlaps with something that the world needs, that's where you found your vocation. And that may be your money-making vocation. It may be your do-in-your-spare-time vocation, the thing that gives you life around your workplace. But yeah, I think it's a good idea to think about what you're joyful about, what your deep gladness is, what you love to do, what you love the process of, and see if you can solve someone's problem with that. So let me encourage you to, even no matter what stage of life you're at, to think about how your deep gladnesses can meet the world's deep need, how you can change your life, pivot, dare I say, just a little bit, so that you can enjoy the process that you go through day on day and have more joy in your life. And I hope that it works for you. I'd love to hear how you go with it. And I'd just like to say right at the very end here that one of the things that brings me joy is speaking in public. Yes, although I am an introvert, I do enjoy taking workshops and giving public lectures. And if you would like me to do that for your group of people, I just gave one last weekend. I gave a workshop to the leaders of the Scouts here in Tasmania, and we had a great time. It was actually really brilliant. I learnt a lot from them, and hopefully they learnt a bit from me, and it was really good. And if you would like me to come and do that, if that would meet a need of your people or organisation, just drop me a line, ruth@ruthamos.com.au, because I'd love to do it. Anyway, until next time, I hope that you find some way to enjoy hitting the tennis ball day after day. And I'll chat to you again next time.